جزء 22. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I begin in the name of Allah, compassionate to all, merciful to each. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the 22nd episode in this podcast series titled Journey Our Eyes Through the Quran, Exploring 30 Juz in 30 Days. Today, inshallah, we will continue our journey through the pages of the Quran as we take a brief look into the 22nd Juz of the Quran, which consists of the last 42 verses of chapter 33, which is Surah Al-Ahzab, or the Allies, and is Medinan, the entirety of Surah Saba, which is 54 verses, and Meccan, and the entirety of Surah Fatir, which is also Meccan and 45 verses long, and lastly, it contains the first 27 verses of Surah Yasin, which is also Meccan. Over the past few days, we've marked the death anniversary and shahada of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. And one of the most common questions that is asked when it comes to the Quran is with regards to the verses that mention him and the Ahlul Bayt, or what some would argue as a lack thereof. In today's episode, we'll discuss some of the reasons as to why Imam Ali alayhi salam's name is absent, and why the names of the other members of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam are also absent. We'll be taking a look at verse 33 of Surah Al-Ahzab, which is more famously known as the verse of Tathir, as a case study. The verse reads, "Stay in your houses and do not flaunt your finery like the former days of ignorance. Maintain the prayer and pay the zakat and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Apostle. Indeed, Allah desires to repel all impurity from you, O people of the household, and purify you with a thorough purification. And remember what is recited in your homes of the signs of Allah and wisdom. Indeed, Allah is all attentive, all aware. Indeed, the Muslim men and the Muslim women, the faithful men and the faithful women, the obedient men and the obedient women, the truthful men and the truthful women, the patient men and the patient women, the humble men and the humble women, the charitable men and the charitable women, the men who fast and the women who fast, the men who are modest and the women who are modest, the men who remember Allah greatly and the women who remember Allah greatly, Allah holds in store for them forgiveness and a great reward." The interesting part about this verse, i.e. verse 33, the verse of Tathir, is that in many early books of Ahadith, the latter part of the verse has an entirely separate occasion and unique occasion of revelation from the verses that surround it. And both Sunni and Shi'i books of Ahadith note that it was revealed at the event of Kisa, or the blanket. There is an interesting long-form paper by a sister named Yasmin Amin, and it is available in English, where she goes through versions of the hadith throughout history and how they are recorded in some of the earliest books that we have at our disposal from both the Sunni and the Shi'i tradition, dating from as early as 220 to 240 AH. While the earliest renditions do not have all of the details that we read in Hadith al-Kisa, the general narrative is the same. One day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went under a blanket, and he was joined by Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam Hassan alayhi salam, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and finally, Sayyidah Fatima sallallahu alayha. In this same rendition of the hadith, Salama also asks to join under the blanket, but she is told, "Anti ala khair," that she is on a good path, but that she is not a part of this Ahlul Bayt, and is not included in the people of the Kisa. A beautiful point worth mentioning here is that historically, Salama, the wife of the Prophet who is mentioned in this rendition of the story, had a close affinity with the Ahlul Bayt. She mentions some of the hadith that we have with regards to the prophecy of the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in Karbala, and she also supported Imam Ali alayhi salam in many difficult instances throughout his life. She is also one of the wives of Rasulullah who lived the longest. But despite having this close affinity to the Ahlul Bayt and to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, she is still not permitted to enter the Kisa and is not noted as amongst the Ahlul Bayt in this rendition, even though she has an incredible status. Another beautiful point to mention here is that not being included doesn't stop her from supporting and loving the Ahlul Bayt either. A striking part of this verse, which has caught the attention of both Shi'i and Sunni commentators, is that the pronouns of this verse switch. And this is what helps us understand that there is a different audience being referred to. Initially in the verse is clearly speaking to the wives of the Prophet and speaking in the feminine plural, which is a particular case in Arabic. However, As the verse goes on, it switches to the masculine plural tense, which means the inclusion of men in the discussion. This indicates that the reference are different from the beginning of the verse. It switches audience. It's almost as though it's a different sentence with a different context somehow put there. There is another verse like this, particularly verse 3 of Surah Al-Ma'idah, where one of the verses revealed on the event of Ghadir is mentioned, and a similar reasoning for this is also cited here. In fact, in one hadith it is mentioned that the reason this verse was placed here was by Rasulullah himself, and that Angel Jibra'il alayhi salam used to show him where to place some of these verses. This is not to say that all of the surahs in the Quran are in a certain order, but rather it's argued that the verses within each surah are arguably done in a tawqifi or a divinely ordained manner. For someone paying attention to the details, they will pay attention to these points, and they'll come to these stories and long-standing parts of our tradition. These details and queries lead us to the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam through the Quran as a doorway. The question as to why the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam are not mentioned explicitly in the Quran is not a new question, and interestingly enough, it has been narrated that the same question was also asked to our imams. It is narrated from Sheikh Kulaini by Abu Basir that one day he asked the imam and said, "How come Imam Ali alayhi salam and his family are not specifically named in the Book of God?" In response, Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam is said to have said the following. This is a small excerpt from a longer tradition, but this part says, "Tell them that the prayer was revealed to the Prophet, and in it there was no specific mention of 3 or 4 rak'ahs until the Prophet was the one who explained it to them." Here we see that Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam is trying to point to the general trend of the Quran and God's strategy. And that is that the Quran is general, but it always points us in the right direction. It gives us principles of obeying Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and going to his words for guidance. The verses also point to the family of the Prophet, and in several occasions, we see that the Quran points us in that direction. There's another famous verse in Surah Ash-Shura which says, "La as'alukum alayhi ajran illa al-mawaddata fil qurba," that Rasulullah is told to say, "I do not ask you for anything except for the love of my close family." And in this verse, the verse of Tathir, we also see this verse of purification, where it's clearly indicating the family of Rasulullah. When we look at our tradition holistically, and these clues in the Quran, we can quite clearly see the status of Imam Ali alayhi salam and the various instances in which he embodied the Quran and was one of its most intimate companions. Amongst all schools of thought, there is unity in that the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam has a special status, and this includes Ali, Fatima, Hassan, Hussein alayhi wasallam. And it's also mentioned and indicated in verses like the one we just read in Surah Al-Ahzab, the famous verse of Tathir. All schools of thought in the Muslim world believe in the reverence of this family, and our tradition is shared in that it contains references to the event of the cloak in the earliest books of history. The differences that we have amongst these schools of thought is not in their virtue or that this family was incredibly virtuous, but rather the difference of opinion lies in the various opinions concerning the level of authority with which we vest in them. And that is a story for another podcast series. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.